Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. My name is Layton. Joining me, as always, is, well, actually not as always, but this time is my good friends, Nate and John. John, how are you liking your new town?
Coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee, I am a changed man. You know, I think my album is going to drop here in a couple weeks. I got some Nashville hot fried chicken, and I'm a different person.
Did you actually get it? Did you get Hattie B's?
No, so I went to Party Fowl, which it's party and then F-O-W-L. F-O-W-L. Yeah. Yeah. I did not. I am a wimp when it comes to heat, and Nashville hot just sounds terrible. A guy I work with did get it, though. And
you have to go to Hattie B's.
So, yeah, we're going to go to Hattie B's. And okay, I don't know. Barstool actually put out a video, ironically, today about Nashville hot chicken, which is, like, crazy. And so I saw, like, anyway, some of the history behind it and everything. How it got started was this guy who had, he got divorced 5 times.
Yeah. Like,
his last wife or whatever got pissed at him because, like, he was obviously cheating on her. And so on Sunday morning, which I guess was like a thing back in the day to eat fried chicken for breakfast, she made his fried chicken like super, super, super hot in an oil-based like marinade, I guess, which is how like they prepare Nashville hot chicken. It's oil-based, which means that like it lingers longer. Anyway, that's how Nashville hot fried chicken got started.
Wow.
Because a guy cheated on his wife. So... Don't you ever hear somebody say nothing good came from cheating? It's not true.
probably blew his doors off.
Yeah. But so then he started a restaurant like based off of that recipe, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, nope. Nashville's been great. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to be down here for at least next week. They asked me to come back another week, which I'm available for, but we'll see. Not sure if I want to take,
as long as it's not take in time some time for- off.
As long as it will not be for the draft. Yeah, not interfering with the draft. But yeah, it's been good.
Good, Nate. How have you been?
I've been good, Layton. Thank you. How have you been?
You know, it's been a difficult day, but it's okay. Just kidding.
We'll get to it.
I'll get to it. It's fine. All right. Well, let's jump right in. This is going to be kind of basically a lot of news. Because we didn't have a lot of time because we're all just busy this week. Nate's flying out to Vegas.
Land of the Raiders.
Yeah, I want the Raiders. No, that's always open. But he's flying out because he has a bachelor party he's attending to. John is working remotely in Nashville, and I'm about ready to move back to Texas. So it's been busy, so we just squeezed in some news. We got our draft picks finally. And so we're going to talk about those. And then, so we got a question of the pod, which we'll jump right into. This is courtesy of John, about 10 minutes before the podcast started.
Very official question.
Who is your ADP sleeper at the moment? John, since this was your question, why don't you go ahead and talk about the guy I didn't want to talk about.
Player X, as Layton would prefer for him to be known as. But this player is Curtis Samuel. And I think that we can all agree that, at least among the three of us, he's definitely been one of those guys that we have independently started to like and probably never even talked about it amongst ourselves because we didn't want to admit it to each other. But yeah. Curtis is somebody who... coming from the Panthers offense, signed with the football team as a free agent this offseason. Coming from that Panthers offense into a Washington offense that has a gunslinging quarterback that is literally, I don't think there's a single thing that Fitzmagic is afraid of on planet Earth. They're going to throw the ball a lot, like a lot. And yeah. Teaming up with Terry McLaurin, which I've also started to turn the page a little bit on Terry. I believe that he also is undervalued. I think he's more of an elite wide receiver than I originally gave him credit for.
Ooh, John.
And yeah, I know. It's a little bit of a different take on Washington for me. But I do I do believe Terry's an elite talent at wide receiver, which is only better for Curtis Samuel. So the combination of a great number one option, and the fact that they're going to throw the ball a lot with Fitz, they're going to run it with Antonio Gibson, obviously, and Logan Thomas just signed an extension, which you have to take that into account. Signed a 3-year deal. Yeah. But where Curtis Samuel is going, which I think you can get him with probably your 7th or 8th pick in 10-team leagues on ESPN, I think he is a fantastic value.
That's the one I forgot to put in.
Top, I would, dare I say, top 20 upside.
Oh, all right, John. He sucks at football. Nobody should draft him. That's in our league. Okay, going on to Nate.
All right, with mine, this is also another little sleeper that I think all of us were kind of in agreement on, but mine is Nelson Agholor, wide receiver for the New England Patriots. He is currently projected 134 ADP and wide receiver 60. And, I mean, he had honestly a pretty good campaign last year in Las Vegas. I would argue that he was their number one guy. I mean, there's Henry Ruggs, who's the deep threat and everything, but outside of Darren Waller, he was really the only one that showed up consistently throughout the year, had a few breakout games.
Was the wide receiver the Chiefs. 40, wide receiver 34. Sorry, Nate.
Yeah, no, he was – he showed up against the Chiefs, and that was what really caught my eye, I guess, watching those games. But I think he's in a really good position right now in New England. Also a pretty, pretty bum roster, if you ask me. But, I mean, they have N'Keal Harry, who it looks like – kind of sounds like they're losing a little bit of confidence in, getting frustrated with him after wasting – was he a first-round draft pick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They've tried with him and it's just not working. He hasn't been developing like they've expected. So they bring in Nelson Agholor, which I'll be interested to see how it works out. They also added the two tight ends, which kind of fits Cam Newton's arm talent play style, I guess. But I think Nelson Agholor, I don't see a world where he finishes worse than wide receiver 60
outside injury.
Outside of injury, that is correct.
Yeah, and that was like one of the first guys they signed too. So there's something Bill must really like about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with what you just said, Nate. One more quick nugget I want to throw in here, just because it gives me a chance to dunk on Derek Carr. He had 82 targets last year, and he caught 48 of them.
Wait, how many targets?
82, and he caught 48.
Who are we going to fault for that?
Derek Carr, absolutely.
Yep.
That was nice. I loved that. That was really good.
Are we kidding me? Like, come on. Derek Carr's bad at football.
I mean, Nelson Agholor has been plagued with brick hands throughout his time in, like, Philadelphia. He was dropping some balls. I didn't seem like that was the case necessarily last year. If he's targeted 82 times.
No.
Well, the Patriots, they play with a little bit less pressure in the balls, if you know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah,
maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll just have David Carr at me on Twitter because he's out of the NFL because he's also bad. All right, mine is sleeper right after John's, Javonte Williams, wide receiver 75. Overall, running back 26. I'm sipping the Javonte Kool-Aid. Just because where you can get him right now, I think is a steal because he might not start at the beginning of the year, but everybody that I've read and heard about with the Broncos insiders said he's going to win the starting job by the beginning of the season. Traded up for him in the second round. They love this guy. Thinks he's the future at running back. And so if you can get a guy like that who will be basically the starter, you know, in the 7th round, you're looking pretty good, especially if you take two running backs early on. You can afford to wait with him and then not have to basically rush him out. So, big Javonte Williams guy. And they're probably not going to throw a lot. They'll probably be more of a run first, play defense kind of team. So, anybody have?
I agree with that too.
Yeah. John, anything you?
Did you want to add on to that, John?
I will say that I like Javonte Williams. I like his outlook, but I think he's too expensive where he's going right now. It's kind of at that point in the draft where you can take shots and like potentially land guys that are going to end up in your starting lineup that are safer bets than Javonte Williams, in my opinion.
At running back or just in general?
In general.
Okay.
And like, yeah. And so at running back at that point, yeah, Javonte, I don't know if Mike Davis is going before that or not. I think
the pick right after.
Has him right after.
The pick right after. Yeah. So like Mike Davis, in my opinion, is a safer bet at running back than Javonte Williams. And like, I don't know that like the ceiling is like tremendously higher for Javonte than Mike Davis for this year. Like for a career, obviously, like Javonte has a extraordinarily higher ceiling, but for this year, I don't think that the ceiling is much higher. But that's just me. And I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again.
I guess with that, we'll get right into the news. So we have a ton of news to talk about.
Literal ton.
So first of all, John, you kind of put this one together. The Last Dance Rodgers edition. I disagree with this because Aaron Rodgers is not the GOAT like Michael is. So, but go on.
Yes, and I did put this one together. And, right, I was referencing the Last Dance documentary. But what I meant, so they posted the IG stories. That's what I was referencing. So
I know.
Right. Yeah, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers both posted pictures on their Instagram stories of Jordan and Pippen indicating, which I didn't get it. I don't know if you guys did, but I didn't get it when it happened. But yes, that was in reference to a Last Dance for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. And I could see this going one, like, I could literally see it going either way, that this is either going to be a domination of a year by the Packers and they're just going to come out and destroy everything in their path, and Aaron Rodgers is going to ride his horse out into the sunset in glory with his second Super Bowl, or it's just going to be bad. And I think that I side more with the idea of it being just a blow up season for the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers comes and reports to training camp, and after 2 hours of practice, he goes and he just destroys the entire front office for the Packers. And I just don't understand how there can be much chemistry and much motivation. Like, I'm amazed at the fact that they actually traded for Randall Cobb, especially given what Rodgers had to say with them doing that. So it just doesn't seem like the cohesiveness is going to be there for the Packers this year. But I can see Rodgers just being motivated to win, no matter what he has to go through to get it. So he's back, and that's what we wanted to see from a fantasy perspective. But I would probably downgrade Rodgers, even though where he was going, I think he's going to move up a little bit. I would still, yeah. I would downgrade his stats.
89 overall right now, quarterback 8.
I think he'll move from that just now that we know that he's back. But I'd bump the stats a little bit.
Yeah. One thing, I think the thing that I took away most is this just solidifies Davante Adams as the number one wide receiver for me this year. Because Davante talked about how he wouldn't take a pay cut to keep Rodgers. Yeah. He wanted to be the highest paid guy in the league. So as a good guy once said, Tress Paylor, the contractor is undefeated. And that's what Davante Adams is on. It's probably, I don't know how old he is, but it might be his last like really big contract. So even if it's not with Green Bay,
28 or 29, I think.
Yeah, it'll be his last big one.
Yeah.
So he'll go somewhere to get his money. So that's why he's going to ball out this year.
Where are we at with Michael Thomas?
He just had surgery a while ago.
he's on the landslide for me.
Yeah, Nate, you're pretty down on him. Why don't you talk about that?
Okay, so he had surgery in like June, right?
June or July. Really knowing.
Okay, it was before the update came out, though, correct?
Absolutely.
It was like well before that, and it was gonna be. I can't even remember what the recovery time was. off the top of my head right now, but it's, we had it calculated out. We're like, there was the potential that he could miss up to like 6 weeks.
That is true.
Or something. He would be coming back in like late November.
Yeah. Because they have a bye week, week six, and when a lot of people are reporting, or he's going to basically have to sit out the first 5 weeks and be after that.
I don't know. It's just, that's a huge risk for me. And if you take him, this is such a hard list to read right now, these ESPN rankings that I'm looking at. So I can't even see him, or if they've – oh, he's wide receiver 30 now. Okay, he's at 58.
58 overall.
Okay, that makes more sense to me, but still, I think there's other players around there that you can get for a full season, or you can expect for a full season that'll contribute.
You could still take him before Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott, which is
right
unheard of.
I can't justify it in my mind.
Really. No,
I would rather lose a season taking one of those guys that are around him and getting a full season of production out of them than taking the risk on Michael Thomas and just him wasting a spot on my bench or whatever.
I'll play devil's advocate real quick.
Go for it. Well, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
If you have an IR spot in your league, it makes it – because we have two in our main league. If you have an IR spot, it makes it a lot more realistic. But if you don't have one, that's when it gets a little bit more dicey. Go ahead, John.
Devil's advocate in the case for drafting Michael Thomas at 58 or whatever it is. So that would be your sixth pick if my math is there. That's your sixth pick. That's your first player on the bench if you're not taking tight end or quarterback, assuming that you draft two running backs, two wide receivers, and then your flex, whoever it is.
Right.
If you can have five solid guys in your lineup and then whatever happens after that, I'd say in the right situation, like if Mahomes and Allen have been taken already, and if you're looking to fill a starting spot, it would end up being like Mark Andrews or somebody who I'm not high on. I can see the world where you're not really forfeiting anything in your starting lineup, because you'd kind of be you would be air quotes reaching for Kyler. But then imagine your lineup post week six. So if in theory he comes back on schedule week seven, if you can add a Michael Thomas to your lineup as your flex, holy cow.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all know, like, and it's a little bit different for me this year, but, like, we know quarterback's super deep, and we know tight end's not. You're not going to get a tight end in the sixth round that you're just, like, over the moon about. So that's my case. I'm not going to go any further with it. But sometimes that way – It's a risk. I mean, it is completely a risk, but sometimes, like, go big or go home. And in the sixth round, like, you're not going to go any bigger than Michael Thomas.
That's very true.
If you get a solid starting lineup with your first five picks and you feel very good about those guys, then yeah, it might be worth the risk, honestly.
Like, I've had drafts where Myles Gaskin is my flex. And if that's the case, like, I'm going to be hard-pressed not to go all out and take Michael Thomas if Mahomes and Allen are gone, which they will be. But,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's definitely –
that's a pretty good strategy.
Intriguing because, yeah, like you just talked about, if you can add him – like, if you're a playoff team and you can add him.
That's the thing. Is like, even if you're like 500, or yeah, even if you're 500 after 6 weeks and then Michael Thomas, like, oh, I don't know.
It's definitely tempting. That's for sure.
Yeah. I just feel like a lot would have to go right and you don't have a ton of depth.
Then it's a situational.
First 6 weeks, which,
right.
If you struggle through those first six weeks, yeah,
you probably trade him. You probably trade him before week seven if you're struggling. Yeah. And you're not going to get a good deal for him.
That is beyond accurate.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's definitely I don't know. It's so tempting.
It's just something to think about.
That's a good ranking for him there, right, though?
I think they did a really good job with it.
Oh, no, it's annoying. It's like a Vegas line. I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it either too high or too low, so I feel like I'm smart.
So you see value in it, yeah. But yeah, this exactly. one, it's you see both sides to it.
Yeah.
But if you have – never mind. I won't go down there. Okay. Next up, good John, question. You also put this – so
I did.
Xavien Howard.
This one is exciting. Xavien Howard, the cornerback for the Miami Dolphins, he requested a trade, and this is a big deal. Corners like this don't come up for auction very often, and I mean, this is a guy who can immediately make a huge impact on a team. Not necessarily fantasy perspective. We're not really talking about it for this reason, but as far as NFL news, it does not – like, it truly doesn't get much bigger than this. From what I've read and from what it looks like, the market for Howard is a first or a second round pick.
Huh.
And there would be a swap. So, if you send a first, you'll get Howard and probably a fourth or fifth. That's kind of what I'm thinking. If it's a later round pick, which I would assume that it would be, because I assume championship teams are really going to be the only ones interested in him, considering that he is like
– he's not going to the Jets.
He's a little bit older. Yeah, he's not going to the Jets. So I could see it being a first for Xavien and a fourth or a fifth. Or I've also read that the Dolphins would potentially be interested in multiple day two picks, meaning – that they could get, you know, anywhere from 2 seconds to 2 or 3 fourths, if there's even a team out there with 3 fourths. And there wouldn't be any picks coming back. So, lastly, the thing that's really interesting, and this is not me trying to be optimistic, this is 100% from what I've read, a common team that looks like a very likely landing spot happens to be the Chiefs. And yeah. That lies in the case that Tyrann Mathieu gets an extension, meaning that his money gets pushed back and we make room for him under the cap. Because right now we can't afford Xavien. But if we extend Tyrann, which is going to happen anyways, then we have room. And I'm all for trading the 32nd pick next year for Xavien Howard. I'm going to leave it at that. I will add that the Seahawks and the Cardinals are the other two likely teams that I've seen. And then the Titans kind of throw them in there probably to make an effort at a championship run while Julio is still, air quotes, healthy. Yeah. But Chiefs, Seahawks, and Cardinals are the short list.
All right, moving on. We kind of already talked about it, but Logan Thomas signed a 3-year deal with the football team.
Definitely hypes him up in my head. Makes me think of him more like a Mark Andrews, honestly.
Nate, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I was pretty high on Logan Thomas coming into like our starting our fantasy talks. I thought he was super impressive last year. He was an excellent red zone target that they utilized a lot. But since then, he's been falling for me, and I don't really. And I think that's my optimism for Gibson for this next season, and them adding Curtis Samuel. And having Terry McLaurin, who is literally – he's an elite wide receiver for me. I love Terry McLaurin. And I just don't know how they're going to – I don't know how he's going to see it. But them paying him, I mean, if they pay him, they're going to use him.
It just shows me they believe.
I just don't know how much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy how my outlook on him completely changed the second that I saw them pay him. I was just like, oh, damn. Because he kind of went from like a, oh, maybe
– yes, exactly.
To like, oh, this guy's actually legit. Like, he's actually a serious tight end in the NFL. So, or maybe Washington's just a bad front office. We probably can't rule that out completely either.
Both can be true.
Yep.
Are we going to talk about this? The Oklahoma and Texas?
It was just kind of fun. I mean, everybody's talking about it. In case you haven't heard, Oklahoma and Texas are planning to join the SEC in 2025, pending approval. I think it's from the – I think it's a 3/4 vote of the teams currently in the SEC. So it has to be voted on and approved, but I have no reason to believe that that won't happen.
It's so stupid.
And ESPN reported that the Big 12 is planning a lawsuit against ESPN for some sort of monetary gain promoting Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC. And it was funny because ESPN did a story about how ESPN wasn't guilty in the matter. And it's just like
shocking.
Shock. Yeah.
They literally like quote tweeted themselves.
Yeah, I know. It's just like
ESPN has reported. Denied these allegations written by Todd Archer of ESPN.
Oh, it's just so funny.
It's so dumb. I'm pissed. I love Big 12. Okay, obviously the football, it's hit or miss sometimes, but I love Big 12.
I don't know,
basketball.
Man. I heard Kansas was like a serious contender this year.
Shut up, John. That's a sensitive subject for me. I went to a Big 12 school, dang it. I'm just saying, I love Big 12 basketball. And I mean, I know it makes more sense for football. I just wish they'd stay in it for basketball, but they're not. They need 11 teams to vote yes. A&M already said they're going to vote no.
They're so bitter. It cracks me up. A&M is just like, and they're not even that relevant in the SEC. It's not like Mizzou is either.
They were really good last year. They're like the fifth or sixth ranked team, John.
Okay. There's a huge difference between being ranked fifth and being ranked first.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're still five.
Yeah, but there's like a huge gap. That's college.
All right. Well, there's our college talk. I hate it, but it's probably going to happen.
That was talking college football.
Yeah, because it's worthless, and there's only five teams that are relevant. There we go. Thank you, Nate. update from Dak Prescott, not completely healthy. John, you wrote this out. He has a
latissimus strain, I think.
What is a latissimus?
I don't know what that is.
I'm looking it up.
That's what Twitter says.
Talk about
Michael Carter.
That looks like somebody's name, latissimus strain.
I don't know. Like, does this bother you at all?
Laviska Shenault is what.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, isn't he a wide receiver on the Jags?
It is a back muscle.
Back muscle.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Maybe.
Go to the
Ben DiNucci was throwing some bombs today, is what I heard.
He
threw CeeDee Lamb out of bounds. He didn't even give him a chance to get that touchdown.
That was the other hype that I wanted to talk about with this. Apparently, and like this is no surprise to me, but I'm just saying, of the guys looking out from the outside in on the top 10 of wide receivers this year, CeeDee Lamb is really sexy, and there's no avoiding it.
CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 15 right now.
CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 9 on the year.
Do you think that Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb can both be top 12 wide receivers?
Yes.
Yes.
I think they can both be top 10.
All right, this is a three-way parlay. Do you think Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb can both be top 12 wide receivers and the Dallas Cowboys can go sub 500?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I was waiting for the parlay until you said sub 500.
I think that's a parlay that only the Dallas Cowboys can pull off.
I think so. Because you have to think about it this way. There's no more 8-8. So they could go 8-9 and be under 500.
Yeah. Mathematically, that is less than 500. You are correct.
Yeah, so I think it's totally possible.
I did it in my head.
Under 8.5?
Yeah. They could do it.
Yeah, I think they could.
I'm not going to bet on it, but it could happen. Nate's currently betting on it.
Nate, throw me out the odds for that parlay, and I will probably.
This is ridiculous, but I have a four leg now. So those three and Zeke is the top five running back. Can they still have a losing season? Because I think they can.
No.
Yes.
I don't know. With Zeke balling too, that means they're competitive in games. So they're not just throwing.
Maybe. What top five? So wait, both are top 10? No.
12. Top 12.
Yeah, no, they can't.
I mean, dude, that was the Vikings last year.
But they almost made the playoffs.
But they didn't. And I think they still have a losing record.
And 7?
No, they're definitely – no. What?
They might have been 9-8.
I mean, they might have been not. I think they're 9-7.
They couldn't be 9-8.
They were.
Oh, yeah, they could. They could
dude, they're 7-9.
Yes.
No, the Bears went 8-8.
Yeah, Bears made the playoffs.
Wow. Well, we could talk about this for hours.
Just keep letting me make parlays for you guys.
Dude.
That
should be my job title.
Oh, wait, Kirk. Wait, you didn't say anything about the Oh, my God.
No.
Kirk Cousins was still QB. Oh, Kirk my Cousins, God.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, he honestly had a fine season. He had, like, two games where he had negative fantasy points, but.
Dude, somebody else transition for me. I can't.
Michael Carter ran first team reps with the Jets at camp today.
Choo choo.
I honestly hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it too. Running back 42. No chance he gets drafted as that. Running back 42.
Hey, 25 overall. The hype may not get out, but it definitely will. So
hey, sorry, can I just say whoever, I called that.
Yeah,
you did call that.
You did call it. Tevin Coleman really has gotten the short end of the stick with his NFL career.
I
kind of
feel bad for that dude.
I do too. He is like, everybody was hyping him up. He's like, Devonta Freeman sucks, but Tevin Coleman can't get the starting job. Okay, I'm going to leave and sign a contract. It didn't really work out very well for him.
No.
Jalen Hurts' first touchdown pass camp was to Miles Sanders. Is this significant?
No.
I have a statement to make.
Go ahead.
Make it.
I'm starting to like Miles Sanders more.
Keep going.
Gasp.
You didn't take him with your first round pick?
No. Actually, I'm taking that back now. I haven't paid that much attention to ESPN rankings. And he's running back.
16?
16. Like, that's another one. Like, I don't know.
I bet he finishes see him somewhere around there.
Why do you like him more?
It's more like he was at the floor for me, and like now he's like taking a step or two up. So he's definitely it's somebody like I'm considering now.
Yeah,
if the situation's right, I mean I don't think it's a bad move to draft Sanders, but
there was
if he stays healthy,
I'm not hard
talented, and I don't think he'll have as bad of a season last year as he did this year. But it does kind of suck that Jalen Hurts is also a rushing threat.
It could hurt his red zone production a lot. And I think Goddard is like probably the first option in the red zone too. And that's probably Hurts.
I forgot Hurts was still on the Eagles. That's crazy.
Dude, did you see his freaking hair?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
How many touchdowns do you think that's worth?
Stay young, buddy. 2.5.
Speaking of the Eagles, there's a report that is factually not true, but Deshaun Watson potentially could go to the Eagles. But
I think it's the number one landing spot. That or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
What if the Dolphins – okay, hear me out. What if the Dolphins trade Howard, get a first, immediately send it to Houston for Deshaun?
Oh. I kind of like that because they had – Wait, how many
and they get history? And they get Laramie Tunsil back for the 15th time?
No, they won't do that.
It's a meme. It's that was a joke. I think if Xavien gets traded and they get a first, I think I don't know. Are they really not going to give Tua like an actual shot?
No, Tua's not good.
I disagree with that.
Let me look. Stalling. So, yes, if they do get one, let's see. They are scheduled to have two already. They're going to have the 49, their own, obviously, and then they trade it with the 49ers, right?
What?
They traded with the 49ers to get their first-round pick.
For what?
When the 49ers moved up to get Trey Lance.
Oh, yes.
This is the Dolphins.
Yes, right.
So, if they have that one and another first, and they get a third,
But we also figured out on the last show or two shows ago that the Eagles have picks to trade for Deshaun too. So
absolutely, yeah, because they have two right now.
But I definitely see like the Eagles buying into Hurts right now more than the Dolphins buying into Tua.
I agree. But,
like, oh, who's ready to win now more? It's the Dolphins. It's
the Dolphins, for sure.
Yeah. So Deshaun. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because if they trade Xavier to the Chiefs for, like, the first and, like, other stuff that doesn't pertain to this, and they trade all three of those first next year and Tua, you think the Texans are just going to be like, oh, we'll think about it. No, they'd accept that in a heartbeat.
Okay, so in theory, if Deshaun goes to changing gears, if he goes to the Dolphins, is he a top 10 quarterback on the year, considering that he's not suspended, which he will be, but if he doesn't get suspended?
Yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Top 100%. Six.
I think he thrives
in
Miami.
Who's his number one target?
Will Fuller.
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle? No.
It's crazy how much you guys disrespect Devonta Parker, which, like, I understand that, like, he's not, like, a big name anymore, but, like, that dude was good.
No, Devonta Parker's the number two option if Deshaun goes there. The only reason I said Will Fuller is because they played together for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So they have chemistry. I don't know. We're getting off topic.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but he did show up. So there's a step in the right direction. He'll probably get,
you know. Yeah, it's not worth talking about.
No, we're not talking about that. So, also in the news, just a quick little point here. Lamar Jackson, he tested positive for COVID. Just another proving point that he can catch better than he can throw. All right, moving on to the match.
Laden.
Boo!
What was that?
I don't know.
That was terrible.
I know, it didn't really have anything to do with the running back, but because he's a running back, they catch, so.
Okay, so Madden ratings are out. Travis Kelce, Zeus, part of the 99 club. Shocker. Tyreek Hill got snubbed big time.
How is he a 98? You can have multiple. Also,
this is the craziest thing. Philip Lindsay had, like, a higher elusiveness rating than Nick Chubb, who had the second highest.
Really?
Yes. I saw that on, like, Bleacher Report Gridiron's post.
I can see that.
Wait, Philip Lindsay?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Say that again.
He has the highest elusiveness rating.
Which is not right.
No.
Do you think somebody made, like, a typo?
I don't know.
They just made Philip Lindsay really, really good.
And also,
the beta will drop, and they'll be like, wait. Philip Lindsay's not good.
It was, like, two things about Chubb. Chubb also has a higher tackle break rating than Derrick Henry, which also, to me, doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
I hate Madden.
Madden needs to get some stuff figured out.
Madden's a bad game.
Also, Khalil Mack. Like, is he... Is he aging? Have I missed something on him? Like, is he not as dominant as he used to be? He was rated like a 93.
He's not as dominant as he used to be.
No, it's because he gets double teamed a lot. But he still gets a ton of pressures. He just doesn't get sacks anymore.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, those were the few things that I picked.
The quarterback rankings aren't out yet, right?
No.
Here's this. Trevor Lawrence is a 78.
Oh, they are out?
Too low. No, that's just rookies.
Oh,
this is rookies. Okay. Kyle Pitts, 81.
No, Trevor Lawrence is a better player than Kyle Pitts right now.
Patrick Surtain, 76. Jalen Waddle, 76. Jamar Chase, 75.
Jamar Chase being low is also it should
DeMonte
be
Smith, 75.
No, this Madden's terrible. They need to hire me.
Aaron Donald,
Mac Jones, 71.
That's too high.
That is way too high.
Aaron Donald's a stud, dude.
Is it fourth or fifth year in a row?
Yeah, he's so good.
Nuts.
So, dude, Aaron Donald might be one of the best players you've ever seen in football.
He may want be one of the greatest football players of all time. Yeah.
Which is sad because I feel like he gets a lot of respect, but, like, I don't think he gets that much respect.
He does not get enough.
Well, nobody talks about him because he's a deep tackle, which I get, but it's like, it's also annoying, though, because when it ever comes to the GOAT conversation in football, it annoys me because everybody always just goes to quarterback. Where, like, Jerry Rice was, like, easily one of the most dominant players ever. But
yeah, I know. But then it's like, somebody had to throw him the ball.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's not all him, but I think quarterbacks probably get too much love, and defense definitely doesn't get enough.
No, but
like Aaron Donald, and then like Von Miller back in the day, like those people's ability to just like change a game completely,
crazy.
It's what Patrick Mahomes does.
I want to ask you guys something. We weren't going to talk about this, but it just came to mind when you started talking about Jerry Rice.
So long.
Yeah, I know. The Deion Sanders interview. Did you guys see that?
No.
Neither one of you know what I'm talking about? Dang, no. That sucks. Okay, I'll talk about it anyway. So there was like a – I think they did a HBCU like
– Wait, with Tom?
Huh?
Deion Sanders with Tom or Deion Sanders getting interviewed?
Deion Sanders was getting interviewed.
Sorry, go ahead.
And so they did like a HBCU pro day or something, and one of the reporters, and I don't know who he worked for, but I think he was like I think he was a decent reporter for college football. He addressed Deion Sanders as Deion, and Deion was not a big fan of this at all. And so he stopped him and he said, hold on. He said, you don't address Nick Saban as Nick. You address him as Coach Saban. So treat me like Nick and call me Coach Sanders. And the reporter said, okay, Deion, and went on to try to ask him the question. He was like, I don't call Nick Saban Coach. I call him Nick. That's his name, so I'm going to call him Nick. He said, your name's Deion, so I'm going to call you Deion. And, like, totally disrespected the crap out of Deion. And, like, I probably watched it 20 or 25 times because I could not believe how much of a prick this reporter was. And, like, it made me mad watching it. Like, the dude, like,
that is cringe.
Clearly has never played football in his life. Like, no. Looked like a complete, like, nerd. Like, had long hair and a beard. Like, he was overweight. Like, not trying to shame this guy, but, like, doesn't know football. Doesn't have any class or respect. Yeah, like, he was an intern.
All right.
Yikes. It That's pissed awful.
Me off. It really pissed me off.
Moving on to the last bit of things we want to talk about. In our main league, we need a nickname for this instead of just calling it the main league. But in our league, we got all of our draft picks. So what we did is we kind of spaced it out, you know, 10, 9, all the way down to 4. Then we did the last 4 a little bit earlier. And so we can now report that John has pick 8, Nate pick 5, and I have, thank goodness, pick 4. So, John, since you got it, what is your initial reaction with 8?
So I've actually had a few weeks to digest, to try to mature a little bit and grow to love my spot for what it is. And in that time that I've spent in meditation and anguish for a little bit, I have come around the corner. And I've begun to see the light at number 8. So at first I gave it an F. Worst place in the world.
He's taking Nick Chubb and Austin Eckler.
That's not true.
But Najee, sorry.
That wouldn't be bad.
It wouldn't be bad. No, to summarize, I think that there are positives at 8. I think you have some good options in the first 2 rounds. And then really where I struggle is round 3 and round 5, because in the 3rd round, you can get stuck with some bums. And in the 5th round, if certain guys go off the board, there's not much to pick from. So
some bums in round 3. Wow.
There are some bums, some Miles Sanders bums.
Oh, geez.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not high on him enough to defend his honor right now, so I'll allow that.
Yeah, but that the 3rd pick, I will say, that's where I began to find love for Terry McLaurin. So,
well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So if he's there, he's a good one. So but actually, now that Thomas is injured, that's really bad because it was normally between those 2 guys whether he was there for me. And so
there you go. And I haven't direct option.
Yeah.
All right, well, Nate, quickly, what did you think about it when she got pick 5?
I was kind of mad when it happened because it would just be so nice. I mean, Leighton would disagree with this, but I think, like, the first 4 picks, you don't really have to make that much of a decision. Like
you those can are like up the, with me.
I could, and I'll probably think about it. But like those
that
four picks,
be the worst thing.
Those first four picks, for the most part, I feel like, yeah, you don't have to think too hard. Like those are the four best players that are available, in my opinion.
Is it Travis Kelce?
So you don't have to do much. But then with five is where he gets interesting, because that's when like Saquon's projected to fall, and that's when you got to make a decision about, you know, Jonathan Taylor, or Zeke, or somebody like that. And that's when you have to, I guess, analyze who you think is gonna has the best potential for the season, and then make a hard decision. But I'm okay with five, honestly. I've done a couple mocks since then. I really don't mind it at all. I feel like you, as opposed to being on like one of like the ends of a draft, you kind of have the potential to get like everyone.
That's fair.
If you know what I'm saying. Like,
you're not like,
there's,
you're not
there's
locked
an opportunity.
Out of anybody.
Right. Like, exactly. Yes. If I wanted somebody really, really bad, I could reach for them. And then there's also the potential that somebody could fall further than they probably should.
And if you get like one, there's no chance you get Tyreek Hill. Unless you take him at one.
Right. So yeah, in the second round, for example, it was like at five, there's been a couple where I've gotten Austin Eckler at 2.5, which seems ridiculous and probably will not happen, but it could.
It could.
And it could happen. But I mean, like, you know, if you were pick two, like there's no chance you're gonna see him. There's no chance you're gonna see D-Hop even there.
There's a good chance, in my opinion, that you end up with Saquon and Najee, and I'm very jealous.
Let's not take it.
My gut is telling me I'm probably not taking Saquon. But, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then. So, I mean, I'm going to watch the news.
Yeah, I
see,
guess.
See what's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First round pick for me, it's like I don't want any negativity surrounding that pick. Like, I just want to know that this person is going to be starting the season healthy.
Yeah, I want somebody that can come in, you know, he's slimmed down, he's been working out, no injuries last year. Blah, blah,
Ben
blah.
Roethlisberger?
Yes, exactly. Because I got pick four. And so when we did all four of the picks a little while ago, I was like, okay, there's a 25% chance I get four. Surely that won't happen. Ha! Shame on me. It did
It's
happen.
Multiple choice.
It was I'm not happy because I think it's going to go McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, and I don't really want Derrick Henry on my football team, so on my fantasy team. So I have been making some calls about trading.
It's trading been back. 2 hours. It has actually been 2 hours. And
I've already made a couple calls.
Not to rub salt in the wound, but I'm glad that I got eighth and just knew off the bat that I was unhappy rather than holding out hope that I was going to get the first pick and then get stuck with fourth. Because, oh my gosh, that would be terrible. Tell us how you feel, lady.
It's okay. Because every round after that, I'm actually like happy. Like while we're doing this podcast, I was marking where my picks are. And I'm like, you know, I'm pretty satisfied with everything. So, yeah. That was basically it.
I have to ask.
Go for it.
Why are you guys so down on Derrick Henry right now?
I think it's just me.
I mean, John said that he would hate to have four.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm unprepared to defend that. But
I can defend it.
Well, no, I just – you like pass catching backs, at least I do, fantasy. And I mean, I don't know that we have adjusted our perception of Henry to how much I believe that the Titans will throw the ball this year. I think the offense is going to look different now that they have Julio, and I think AJ Brown is continuing to become a bigger personality and is going to demand more inclusion in the offense. And so I don't think it's going to be astronomical. Derrick Henry is still going to get his. But especially when you have a running back who is not a receiving back even 3 or 4 carries a game less has a huge impact on fantasy production, and points are just hard to come by when you're not catching many passes. So
yeah, I just don't like how he's been game stripped out of games, because if that happens like in the playoffs, you're SOL. So.
Yep, all you have to do is get up on the Titans and they're not going to run the ball.
Or as often.
Well, I mean, of course, so, but they can't. Right. They just can't run it as much as they normally do, which is 25 to 30 times a game. Just with
anything else you guys want to add? We've been going a little long, so.
Yeah. Man, whatever. Sorry, Anchor. No. No official.
Yeah, we didn't even build an ad.
ANCHOR.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We will probably come back at you next week with potentially mock draft.
Not the craziest idea.
Not the craziest idea. So, you guys have a great rest of your week and a great weekend. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.